the title of my message today is, What's in Your Hand? Can you say that with me? What's in your hand? Go with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and it says this. Then Moses answered and said, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, The Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to Moses, What's that in your hand? I love this question that God asks Moses. He says, What's that in your hand? He didn't say, What's that in your heart? What's that in your head? He didn't say, What's in your wallet? He didn't say, What's in your tent? He didn't even say, What's in your bank account, Moses? No, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, A rod. And God said, Cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're here in your house with your people. We thank you for the incredible time of worship. We thank you for the spiritual exchange that has occurred between us offering you the glory that's due your name, and how, Lord, you pour down your grace and blessing upon us because you inhabit the praises of your people. Now, Lord, we thank you that we're going to break the bread of life and that we're going to distribute it, Lord, to every person that's here. Thank you, God, that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I thank you for the words from Holy Scripture that will be poured into our hearts and lives today. I thank you that not one person will leave the same way they came in. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take these words from Holy Scripture, from the book of Exodus, and that you would make them come alive in the hearts and lives of your people. And I thank you that, Lord, you will, with pinpoint accuracy, bring into the heart of every individual the truth that you want them to walk away with today. I pray and ask this now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Now, this is somewhat of a bizarre encounter that God is having with his servant Moses. Now, if you know the context, if you know the background of this story, in chapter 3, there's a guy by the name of Moses. He's been living in the backside of the desert for 40 years. He's pretty much a loner. You know, hangs out with sheep all day long. He's been doing this now for 40 years. This is like his second life. His first life, the first 40 years of Moses' life, he grew up in the courts of Pharaoh, and he was really a prince of Egypt. And then, through a series of events that occurred in his life, he had to leave Egypt, and now he's living in the desert as a shepherd, the backside of a desert, for 40 years. That's like a lifetime, isn't it? And on one particular day, it was unlike any other day that had ever occurred in Moses' life. One day can change everything for you and me. On that particular day, Moses is on the backside of the desert. He's on a mountaintop, and the Lord appears to Moses through a bush that was burning but would not be consumed. And God spoke to Moses out of this burning bush. And out of this burning bush, God instructed Moses of what he was summoning him and calling him to do. He was calling Moses that day to become a nation builder. No longer just a shepherd, but a nation builder. That he was to go back to Egypt. He was to confront the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. And the most powerful leader in the world at that time, Almighty Pharaoh. And he was to give a message from God to Pharaoh, and the message was quite simple. Let my people go, that they might worship me. Now, you would think, I would think, if God appeared to us, appeared to me, out of a burning bush, and said, Hey, Carl, I've chosen you to be a nation builder, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling that. Where, when, and how? Give me some power. Let's go do this together. Right? But Moses wasn't like that. Moses was much more sensible. He understood what this undertaking would cost him personally. And Moses, really, at the end of the day, felt like many of us whenever God asks us to do something. You've got the wrong person. God, of all the people in the world, all the people on planet Earth at this particular time, why me? I really don't want, I'm comfortable as a shepherd. I'm comfortable working with my father-in-law, the backside of this desert. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've become quite comfortable with my life. Thank you very much. You know, because how old was Moses at this moment? Moses, at this particular moment in time, was 80 years old. How many of you know that we don't like change, really, at any stage in life, particularly when you find yourself at the age of 80? It's like, I don't want to move locations. I don't want to start something brand new. It's just not a part of what I was planning with my life. But sometimes God can wreck our plans, amen, for a good reason. So Moses, in chapter 3, is making excuse after excuse as to why God has chosen the wrong person. I'm not your guy. You know, he went through a litany of excuses. The biggest one was like, you know, I can't even talk. I'm not a good public speaker. Finally, how many know that God doesn't take a liking to individuals who turn down his offers, right? How many know at the end of the day, whatever God wants you to do, he can get you to do it, right? But God is loving and God is patient, and God's working with Moses, right? He's kind of trying to bring him along. And finally, God says to Moses, now here in chapter 4, he finally says, what's in your hand? Well, what happened to be in Moses' hand was a shepherd's staff, a rod, a stick. And it wasn't just any ordinary rod. It just wasn't any ordinary stick. It was Moses' rod. Matter of fact, this particular rod that Moses had in his hand has been a permanent part of his life for many, many, many years. Matter of fact, that rod became, Moses became extremely attached to that rod. That rod was probably with Moses when he left Egypt 40 years prior. That rod, that stick, that shepherd's staff represented in Moses' life the tool of his craft. It represented how he made a living. It represented how he provided for his family, that rod. It was probably with him 24/7. I mean, at least 16 hours a day, Moses had that rod in his hand. It was with that rod that he was able to rescue his sheep, you know, straying sheep. He would be able to get them by the neck and pull them away from danger. And, you know, God has a rod. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So every shepherd has to have a rod. His rod is his staff. And it's with that staff he's able to fight off any predators that might try to come and harm the sheep. It's with that rod that he's able to even protect himself. So, I mean, Moses would go to bed with his rod. He would wake up with his rod. When he would lie down at night, there was Zipporah in bed with him, and probably right next to him was his staff, his rod. It was a permanent part of his life. It was always basically in his hand. Now just think if this story, if you fast forward this story in the 21st century, and if God appeared to the average dude today, and he said, what's in your hand? The average person today would say, my iPhone. Right? It's like with us 24/7. You know what I'm talking about? And what if God told you, what's in your hand? You say, my iPhone. He said, cast it down. Like, excuse me, God. This thing's worth like $500. Zipporah would have a cow if I brought home another broken iPhone. God, you don't know this, but this is an Apple product. You know what that means? That means you look at the screen and it cracks. So now you get the picture of what this rod meant to Moses. It represented his livelihood. It represented something that he had become familiar with and acquainted with over a 40-year period of time, and God was saying to Moses, cast it down. Now, the Bible doesn't go into detail, so I'm making a large assumption here, but perhaps there was more to the conversation than just what's in your hand, a rod, cast it down, and he did. Perhaps initially Moses was a little reluctant to cast down his rod. Perhaps Moses said, God, this is my rod. If you want a rod, see that tree over there? You made that tree like thousands of years ago, right? You can make a rod, and you can have your own stick. Matter of fact, I'll go over there, and I will make you your own. God wasn't having it. He said, throw it down. God, okay. So Moses finally gives in, and he casts down his rod. And as soon as he does, we just read it. What happens? It turns into a snake. Now, let me know what smart people do when they come in contact with a snake. They did what Moses did. It tells us how smart Moses was. As soon as he saw that rod, then it became a snake, he fled from it. And no sooner does he start running away from, as it says here in the verses that we read, from the rod that now has become a snake, what does God tell him to do? Pick it up. He's like, okay, you asked for that rod, and you told me to cast it down. It's now your rod. It's not my rod. It's now your snake. I'm not into snakes. You like snakes? You created snakes. I don't have any pets, much less a snake. I don't want a snake, and I don't want to mess with this snake. But once again, God will get his way eventually. Look to your neighbor and say, God will get his way. Don't tell him. God will have his way. He'll get his way. So what did Moses do? Apparently Moses had watched some Bear Grylls shows, and he realized that you don't pick a snake up by its neck, right? If you're going to pick up a snake, if you're going to handle a snake, you're going to always pick it up by its tail. So Moses picked the snake up by its tail, and as soon as he did, what happened? It became a rod again in his hand. Now, how does this story apply to you and me today? See, the reality is what Moses teaches us is all of us, we have a rod that if we're not careful, will try to become our God in our life. You see, Moses' rod, I believe one of the reasons why God wanted him to cast it down, because anything in your life or anything in my life that's preventing us from loving and obeying God completely has become a hindrance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us so that we could run the race with endurance that is set before us. And since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and all those witnesses that we're surrounded by that are already in heaven, they all had their own rods in life that if they weren't careful wanted to become their God in their life. And there were moments in their life where they had to cast down their rod before God. And so we're to lay aside every weight and the sin. You see, sometimes there are things in our life that aren't sin necessarily at this particular time in our life, but they're a weight. They're holding us back. They're preventing us from running the race to win. They're slowing us down. It's not a matter of, well, is it sin? Is it not sin? It's a matter of, is it hindering you? And if it's hindering you, for it's hindering me from fully loving and obeying God, then we need to lay it down. We need to cast it down, lay aside every weight. And then if we're not careful, sometimes a weight can eventually become a sin in our life that ensnares us. And the reality is we all go through life and we have some rods that try to become gods in our life. We have some sticks that stand in our way from completely loving and obeying God. I've had some sticks in my spiritual journey, and this might sound somewhat juvenile or ridiculous, but on the surface, don't take it that way, because at the young age of 17, when I surrendered my life to Jesus and he rescued me and saved me, there was a rod in my life that had become a god, and don't laugh, but for me, it was rock and roll music. I loved my Blue Oyster Cult. I loved my Journey. I loved my Led Zeppelin. I loved my AC/DC. I loved my Kiss. You're like, who? All you millennials like, what? Give me some Katy Perry or whatever. Taylor Swift, whatever. Get saved. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway. the good old rock and roll days, you know? When they sang about drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And it's usually between a man and a woman. But anyway. Yeah. It was a stronghold in my life. It was a literal, now I'm not saying if you listen to secular music, you know that you're sinning or whatever. This is between Carl and God. This was my rod. And God said, cast it out. I'm telling you, it was a god in my life. I'm like, I worship my music. I couldn't view what my life or a day would be like without that music in my life, right? And for me, it became a stronghold and a bondage in my life, because it would always bring me back to the memories of the life that now God was delivering me from. And so I had to take my stick, and my stick may have been different from your stick, but we all have a rod that will try to become our God in our life, and I had to cast it down. Maybe it's a relationship. There were relationships in my life that I realized that they weren't from God, that they weren't of God, that they weren't honoring God. And so God said, cast it down. And sometimes there's reluctancy on our part because we become, intimately acquainted with that particular rod that may be in our life that's trying to become a God. And once again, it may or may not necessarily be sin, but it could become sin in our life. And at God's beckon, at God's call, at God's command, at God's summons in our life, we have to be willing to relinquish it. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for Moses, because He had become intimately acquainted with that staff for probably 40 years. It represented his livelihood. It represented how he made a living and how he did life. And yet, credit to Moses that when God said, cast it down, he cast it down. And when Moses cast it down, what happened to that rod? It turned into a snake. You see, God showed him the true nature of that rod, because until that rod was surrendered to God, the true nature of that rod was dishonoring to God. And when we cast something down that God's asking us to surrender in our life, we see it for its true nature. Now listen, there were many people in the Bible, and all of them had a rod that tried to become a god in their life. I think of Abraham. Abraham had a rod that tried to become a god in his life, and his rod was his son Isaac. So one day God said, cast it down. One day God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and he climbed up Mount Moriah, and he said, now offer him up as a sacrifice. And Moses almost went through with it. He took a knife and was going to plunge it in the heart of his son Isaac, his only son Isaac, the miracle son Isaac. And then the angel of the Lord stayed the hand of Moses and said, now the Lord knows that you love him and you trust him. I think of his grandson Jacob. Jacob had a rod that tried to become a god in Jacob's life. And what was the rod in Jacob's life? The rod in Jacob's life that was coming between him and God, becoming between Jacob and God, loving and obeying God, was the stick of deception and manipulation. You see, Jacob learned how to maneuver his life by deceiving everybody in his life. He learned how to go through life as a deceiver, as a supplanter. He manipulated his mother. He manipulated his father to steal the blessing from his brother. He manipulated his brother to steal the birthright from his brother. He manipulated his wives. He manipulated his father-in-law. He was a manipulator until one day on a riverbank, God said, take your rod and cast it down. And he said, make me. And God said, okay. True story. They got in a wrestling match. God and Jacob in a wrestling match. And how many of God's going to win those things, you know? He's playing around with Jacob, making him feel kind of confident that maybe he had a choice, you know, until God put him in a rear naked chokehold. And then Jacob tapped out. And he walked like I walked, with a limp for the rest of his life. Because he was in a wrestling match with God, and he lost. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, he had a rod that tried to become his god, and his rod was self-promotion. His rod was a tinge of pride. You see, his rod was actually a coat of many colors that his father made him, and he wore it with pride. And he wore it to let everybody, let the whole world know that I am special, that my father favors me above my brothers. And God said, cast it down, and that coat was cast down. I think of Esther in the Old Testament, and she had a rod that tried to become her god. She had a stick that was interfering and coming between her and her god, loving and completely loving and obeying him. And what was Esther's rod that tried to become her god? It was self-preservation. You see, Esther had to come to the realization that she was a steward. She was a steward of her beauty. She was a steward of her position. She was a steward of the favor of God. She was a steward of the fact that she was a queen. And God gave her all that so that at that one moment in time, such a time as this, she'd come into the kingdom to rescue God's people. And she had to take that rod and she had to cast it down. I think of another guy in the New Testament, the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus rattled off five of the Ten Commandments, and the guy said, I've been keeping them since I was a child. And Jesus looked at him with compassion and said, you lack one thing. This man had a rod that had become his god, that was standing in the way between him and God, and him loving and obeying God. And his rod was money. So Jesus told him, take all that you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And the man couldn't do it. When the Lord said, cast it down, couldn't cast it down. And so he continued. You see, all of us have a rod. We have a stick, and I'm asking you, what's that stick that's maybe in your life today? Maybe it's the rod of insecurity. Maybe it's your inability to see who you are in Christ, and you only see yourself in light of your own shortcomings, your own failures, your own mistakes, and you look at your life and you see nothing significant. And you've become intimately acquainted with that rod, and that rod perhaps has served you well, even as that Moses' rod served him well, perhaps for 40 years. But there came a time in his life when he had to cast it down. Maybe your stick is a stick of insecurity, and God is wanting you to take that insecurity, that stick of insecurity, and cast it down at his feet, surrender it to him, and realize who you truly are and who you truly can become in Christ, in Christ. Maybe your stick is a stick of pride. Maybe your stick is a stick of stubbornness. Maybe your stick is a stick of victimhood, and maybe it's served you well, and maybe it's helped you advance yourself well in life by making others feel sorry for you, and God is saying, cast it down. Maybe your stick is a stick of addiction. Maybe your stick is a stick of hopelessness. Maybe you feel utterly hopeless at this particular point in time in your life. Maybe your stick may be a stick of hurt, a legitimate hurt that was introduced in your life at an early age. A hurt that cut deep, a pain that cut deep in your life. Something you didn't ask for and something you didn't deserve, but it happened. And the devil now wants that to be a stick that prevents you from fully loving and obeying God in every area of your life. And the Lord is saying, cast it down. You see, we all have something in our hand that God wants us to cast it down, because a stick is only a stick until you surrender it. Maybe the stick in your life is a past failure, a moral failure, something really dumb and really bad that you did. And now the devil is using that stick to beat you down and beat you up every day with guilt and shame. And the Lord is saying, enough is enough. Take that stick out of the devil's hand that he's been using to beat you down all these years, and start using that stick to beat him down and let him know what it feels like. Amen. Take that stick. Cast it down. Surrender it at the feet of Jesus. God will allow you to see it for its true nature, for what it truly is. But then, something happens. As when Moses picked up that stick, and it was back in his hand, it became a rod. But you got to get this now. You got to get this. It wasn't just any ordinary rod. And it was no longer from that day forward ever referred to as Moses' rod. No, something happened. Something great, something significant happened. In verse 17 of Exodus 4, it says this, "And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs, through which you shall do miracles." You know, when Moses picked up that rod and he finally got busy obeying God, and he went down to Egypt, it was with that rod that he was able to do all the miracles that he performed. Wouldn't you love to find that rod today? Forget the Ark of the Covenant. I want Moses' rod. That's what I want. Amen. Imagine what you could do with that rod. Just, you know, you would never have to be afraid of walking through any city in America, you know. If somebody wants to do you harm, just you point the rod at them and knocks them down. Amen. I mean, you could just touch people with that rod and it would heal them. It wasn't just your average rod. The first miracle that he performed when he went to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Why should I listen to you? And why should I listen to your God? And what makes your God more powerful than all my gods? For I am God." And what did Moses do? He cast down his rod. And it became what? A snake. A snake. And then, somehow, through the power of the devil, the magicians of Pharaoh cast down their rods, and they also became snakes. But you know the story. You saw the Ten Commandments. You know Charleston Heston, right? What happened? Moses' snake ate Pharaoh's snake. And after Moses' snake finished his appetizer and his main entrees, he went and picked up his snake, and it became a rod again. And it reveals that God's power in you and through you will always be greater than the power of the world or the power of the devil. Amen? But then it says this in verse 20 of that same chapter. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey and he returned to the land of Egypt. And I want you to read this last part of the verse out loud with me. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. One more time. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. It's just a stick. It's just a rod. It was only Moses' rod until he surrendered that rod. And from that moment forward, it was never referred to as Moses' rod again. It was always referred to as the rod of God. How awesome is that, church? The rod of God. Your marriage is just your marriage until you cast it down at the feet of Jesus and surrender it to him. And then when you pick it back up again, it ceases being your marriage. It becomes God's marriage. Your kids are your kids until you cast them down at the feet of Jesus. And you realize, I'm simply a steward. They belong to God before they belong to me. They ultimately will be given back to God after I've finished my 18 years of training them up on the way they should go. And when you surrender your kids at the feet of Jesus and you pick them back up, they cease being your kids and you begin to realize, those are not my kids. Those are God's kids. When you take your money and you cast it down and surrender it, I'm having fun with this, at the feet of Jesus, right? And you go and you pick it back up again, it ceases to be your money, and hello, church, it becomes God's money. When you take your talents and your skills and your abilities and your hopes and your dreams and you surrender them and you cast them down at the feet of Jesus and you surrender them over to Jesus, when you pick them back up again, they cease being yours and they belong to God. And it's through that rod of God that you're able to do the signs and wonders that God's called your life to. Oh, I think I'm doing better preaching than you are shouting this morning, church. What's in your hand? Nothing. Never say nothing. There is something that God has placed in your hand that you're a steward of and that you are to use not just to tend those few sheep, but to change the world for God's glory. We all have something in our hand. But it only remains a stick until we surrender it to God. But once we surrender it to God, then we take that stick and we go change the world for Jesus. I like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today. We thank you, Lord, that we take the rod that's in our hand and we cast it down at your command, at your beckoning, at your call, at your summons. We declare today, Lord, that you have the right man. You have the right woman. We're at the right place at the right time to do your will, to do your work. But we must take that rod that at times attempts to become our God, and we need to surrender it. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. So right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just take a moment. Take a moment to humble yourself. Take a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to pinpoint in your life, what's that stick? What's that rod that's trying to become your God in your life? Pride, unforgiveness, an offense, who knows? Surrender it to him right now. Just give it over to him. Is it a weight? Is it a sin that keeps ensnaring you? Confess it. Take care of that important business right here, right now. Right where you're seated. Make that an altar. And you say, Lord, here, I give it to you. I give it to you. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know his love, grace, and forgiveness. If you need to rededicate your life to him, welcome home, prodigal son, prodigal daughter. The arms of a loving heavenly Father are here to greet you. Just pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth. Mean it from your own heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise to the church family?